My brothers and sisters in Christ, let us pray. Lord God of our grateful hearts, minds, spirits, and souls, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Luke's Gospel, more than any of the other three synoptic Gospels, finds Jesus at prayer. So, when the disciples see Jesus at prayer, it seems only natural for them to ask their teacher the right way to do things. That's what good students do, right? They ask their teacher for the method, and they imitate it, and then they must be able to get to the right answer if they follow those instructions. That's assuming that they've mastered the question to begin with. But what is the point of prayer anyway? How does God answer prayer? Why does God sometimes seem to ignore our prayers? Is prayer a way that I can change the mind of God? Are we negotiating with God in a time of crisis, need, or want? Or are we knocking on a door that opens to things we never thought we needed, but turns out that we really, really do? Does prayer make things happen? Or change our perception of what is already happening? Wow, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure I'm prepared for any of these questions. Are you sure you want to talk about the method? All right, here we go. When we wonder about prayer, I think we also get jammed up on the structure of prayer, or the hows and whys and wherefores and whens. These things are important to know for our own racing minds and hurting hearts. But Jesus gives us a different frame to think about when he talks about prayer. Who? Jesus invites us into relationship with God through prayer. God is the who. Jesus is in a paternalistic society now and invites us to address God as Father, just as if a child were asking a parent for something they want or desire. Now, I like to think that God is more of a mother when I pray, because my dad really didn't respond to my requests. It was my mom who listened and considered him. So, first off, whether we say father or mother, it's all good. And Luke's version of Jesus' prayer to God is briefer and simpler than that found in Matthew. It emphasizes the more down-to-earth concerns of securing bread for tomorrow and tending a community formed by shared forgiveness. But prayer is not about getting things from God, is it? Remember, it's about the relationship we have with God. Not this cosmic vending machine where you ask for something and an outcome pops out. Prayer is not about getting things from God. It's about the relationship with God. So, with Jesus, despite being the Son of God, and all the time he's prayed to God, and despite his divinity right here on earth after a life of ministry and faithful service and prayer, Jesus, in his final moments while hanging on the cross, Jesus prays. And in a similar way, just as Jesus had to pray to make his needs known, we're invited to make all our needs and wants and hurts and hopes and desires known to God. And given all our day-to-day trauma and worries of daily life, and acknowledging deeply felt and unmet needs we carry with us? I think our questions deserve at least a hearing. And I know there's other places in Scripture that when we're told that God knows our needs without being asked, God knows our heart. But if relationship is the goal, then it's hard to read the mind of the other person without having those feelings articulated, isn't it? In order to be in relationship, the two of you need to communicate your needs. And so I think God needs to know where we're at. I think the hardest thing about prayer is the idea that we pray long enough and hard enough or often enough that we can provoke God into action that takes the form of the outcome that we long for in the method which we've specified in the time frame we want and with the promised results that we expect. If we're in relationship, after all, isn't that what friends do for each other once in a while? Especially if it's really important. But Jesus says that we should pray not for a specific outcome, but we do need to pray and pray persistently. But it's really difficult for us to know how we experience the outcome of those persistent prayers, isn't it? And it's way too easy for us to judge our prayers or the one whom we prayed to as deficient. We want to know God's listening, but we're all too impatient to say that God is in fact absent. So, I can't very well tell you what persistent means or the form that takes, but what I can say is that there is no magic formula here. Even Jesus prays to God for God's will to be done, not his. In fact, Jesus' entire birth, death, and resurrection are centered around God's will be done. What persistent prayer does entreat, though, I think, is important. It's the promise of the presence of the Holy Spirit. I think we need to understand that prayer doesn't offer outcomes. Prayer doesn't meet our expectations or prevent things from happening that we would otherwise have them. But persistent prayer does invite us. Persistent prayer invites us into a transformative relationship with God, and that means ultimately with the Holy Spirit within ourselves. Persistent prayer, friends, transforms us in a way that just thinking about it can't. Persistent prayer means appealing to the heart of God in response to God's heart appealing to us. It might seem as if prayer is this series of winding paradoxes that never resolve. But Jesus invites us nevertheless. Name God as your God. Name God as your God. Ask for that which sustains. And ask for hard stuff, impossible stuff, big stuff, but expect to be challenged. But also expect to be held and blessed and changed. I want to leave you with these final thoughts. true prayer is mutuality. Silence is individualism. We know what we're experiencing can only be held by God and others, and that makes us alone no more. Just grateful and thankful for us right here, right now. Not what we were or will be. Just now. And the peace that no one else can take away from us, not ever. When we understand that mutuality, we begin to understand the nature of spirit, the Holy Spirit of God's creation. Promise that we're never alone. The knowledge that we will be blessed, sustained, and comforted. And so I ask you, now do you want to pray? Thanks be to God. Amen.